Hello and welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. I'm Kathy Love. I started life as an OT, had an amazing, crazy private practice which I sold. And what I do now is help allied health business owners create a business that serves them, the time, the money, the joy that they absolutely deserve. And this is where my idea for the podcast started. What I want to do is to capture how hard allied health business owners in Australia work to achieve their dreams, to support their teams, to create amazing outcomes for their clients. So sit back, beverage of choice, drive safely, walk carefully, however you're listening in, and I hope you absolutely enjoy. Hello, listeners. You've got Kathy Love and you've got...
Chantel Robards. Hello, everyone.
Hello. So welcome to our fireside Friday afternoon chat. And we don't have a particular structure for this podcast, but I guess what we can kick off with is Chantel Robards is now part of the Naked Consulting team. So welcome. You've been in with us for a couple of months now.
I have, and loving it, Kathy, after 2.5 years consulting to government and being quite tightly restricted, I guess, on what I could and couldn't do. And I'm in this position now with NACA where I'm feeling like action is the number one goal. Finally, all the learnings that I've made in the last few years I can put into action now, and I'm having a ball with it. You've got a great team, by the way.
We do have a fabulous team. It's just extraordinary. And kudos to you. You've fitted in so well and you've given us feedback about onboarding, and, you know, I think you're very comfortable with looking for opportunities and don't you think we should do this? And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Like my appreciation of your agitation is just out there now.
Can't wait to agitate. I've got a few grenades in the belt ready to go, Kathy.
Okay. I've been warned. I think we should share, though, how we've spent our day today. So what are we? We're end of September 2023, I think. And we've just stepped out of the Quarterly Accelerator Conference, which is an online conference that we run for our members. And it's the first one you've been in, right?
The most fabulous day. just a really nourishing day in terms of the content that was presented, some mind-blowing stuff on AI. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Just how far that has come, and some really good hacks on how to use ChatGPT. So, yeah, amazing stuff. You really put a good day together. Some of your members are doing incredible things too.
Yeah, we've got a session in there where we showcase what our members have done. And it's about understanding the problem that they had, the action plan they put into place to solve it, and then in many cases, the measurable outcome. So without naming names, we heard from a business owner who changed her service and fee model and put $100,000 on her profit line. Now, that gets a round of applause in my book.
That's just, it's really brave, isn't it? That's really change management process that has to happen to make that happen successfully. And she'd just done such a good job with her team and her client base. Really could see really sort of detailed.
Embrace the fear.
really great plan. So when the time, she had a go date. So when that go date came, she was ready because she'd done all the pre-work really, really thoroughly. Maybe a little bit too long for you, Kathy.
I know, I do have to practice patience, but it comes from a wholehearted place.
Yeah. But yeah, she had done amazingly well. And I'm loving hearing about new grad programs today.
Yes. I wrote down during the conference that I think we need to run a working, not I think, I know we need to run a working party, which means that we bring some of our members together for a half a day, and probably one of us will facilitate that, and we will squeeze new graduate programs out of everybody's busy business brains. Because I think what these conferences do, along with our coaching zones and our monthly group coaching, and whenever we bring good people together, we get this exponential kind of multiplication of
the effect. And that serves our values of happy business owners, happy teams, improving the lives of people with, you know, health and disability needs.
Oh, absolutely. And the last one was the employee value proposition. Oh, my goodness. Wasn't that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, how cool. And she was so generous. She screen shared the whole document that she's put together and the whole pathway she's put together and the graphics. I couldn't, because I was chatting with her, I could only get a sense of the eyebrow raises and the awe that people had for how beautiful this document was. And I happen to know how good the content is as well. We couldn't necessarily see that. But that's landed two or three new clinicians in 2 months or 3 months, yeah, I think.
Absolutely. Just can't speak to how important that is right now with the competition for new recruits.
Yep.
Being so high, and she's in a regional area as well, so it's even tougher. So yeah, really, really impressive members' actions happening out there, Kathy. And just back to your point around getting those brains together in the room as well, because it's such a rich environment. I'm loving Coaching Zone that we offer.
You are loving it.
It's my favorite. I love it.
What do you like about it?
I just love the easygoing nature of it, I think. So people pop in and pop out. Sometimes people will pop in right on the minute and they're gone by 8 minutes past. And
yep. Our record is 4 minutes. Our record is someone 4 minutes getting a massive solution and
off they go again, carry on with their day. Yeah, I had one pop in at 5:02 the hour. Mm-hmm. Like just quick question, quick. And actually we just had a bit of a celebration because she's just implemented some stuff and really smashing it. So, yeah, just coaching zones are another really great environment for our members to get those brains all in a room. And half the time they solve each other's problems.
Because, I know, right?
Yeah.
How good is that?
Yeah, it's fantastic. There's just such a good group of people. And you know, you think our allied health world is in good hands with these people at the helm.
That's a really cool way of putting it, that despite all the broader concern and worry at a really local level, there's an awesome number of awesome business owners who are doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah, they really are. They really are. And as a result, their clients are just getting really, really great support. Yeah.
And their teams are being retained.
which is a little unheard of right now.
It is. It's something that I can't even think of the last time I had to really talk about employee churn with a client ever. It's years and years and years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, smashing it. They're a great bunch. I'm loving it.
On the record, I should thank the entire Naked Consulting team. I think the whole team was in the conference at some point as keyboard warriors or as, celebrators, if that's a word. Marcus from our team spoke about ChatGPT, which was phenomenal, as we've alluded to. We happen to know that there's a significant white paper in the pipeline on that. But let's kind of scope out to the broader environment. Where are you? This day has totally crept up on me. Where are you heading Monday?
Monday, I'll be out in Singleton, New South Wales, at an event that Sarah are hosting. So the Rural and Remote Allied Health Peak. And that they've brought this day together to really talk workforce, and it's strategically being held in the Hunter, where obviously we have I don't know if it is obvious to me because I live in the Hunter. There's a number of mines that are closing, so we're going to have a workforce that are going to be looking to retrain in the coming 10 years or so. Mm. And Sarah are jumping in now onto that sensitive topic and going, yeah, we've got lots of jobs over here.
That's not obvious to me at all. I wouldn't have put those pieces together in a million years.
Yeah, so that's why it's being held where it's being held. So we'll be having a number of speakers and I'll be sitting on a panel across at some point of the day, and there's another white paper in the works, Kathy, from NACA, regarding the recruitment and workforce situation. So look out, here we come.
Yeah, you're getting your white paper game on.
Yeah. Like I said, grenades. You've got to have the evidence in your pocket if you want to toss them in. So, yeah, we're getting those ducks in a row now.
I can see you really enjoying that day on Monday. You do that, or my view of you is that you do that very naturally and very effortlessly. You're good at the room and being in the room and getting that temperature as well.
I think it'll be an easy one because the providers in the room are all going to be on my side. So I don't think it's going to be difficult to get some feels happening. It's going to be how we go about influencing the decision makers who are in the room. Yeah. And that's where the white paper and the evidence comes in, really.
We need you live tweeting from the event, but that is just so 5 years ago. But
so almost 5 years ago now, Twitter is dying and I'm so sad.
Do you miss it?
Yeah, I miss it. I do miss it. It was just such a good live platform for those kind of events and American politics, of course.
Yeah.
Passion stuff. But it's just, I can't tell you the last time I had a peek at it.
Oh, I know, right? Have you gone over to Threads?
Yeah, I've started Threads, but I'm not in there very much.
Fun for the first week, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fun for the first week, had a play, and I'll have a peek every now and again, but no, I'm just relying on my podcast now to give me the news. So.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to capture the sentiment next week. So enjoy. I'm just so heartened that we can send representatives to these roundtables and these events. Somewhat representing a cohort of allied health business owners, but you will certainly be taking all your other knowledge and experiences as well.
I absolutely think so. It's been a frustrating 10 years. I think we can both agree, Kathy, knowing that most of the allied health consultations that take place are with large not-for-profits, they happen with health, the private sector is just ignored. And yet when you look at the numbers of providers, in the NDIS space at least, so the private sector is by volume by far, far, far and away the biggest. However, payments-wise, I think the volume of payments still goes to the larger providers, and that's why the NDIA tend to talk to them, the government tend to talk to them most, just because of their scale.
But how much longer are the bigger, older entities going to be?
From what I'm hearing, if they weren't cross-subsidising, they wouldn't be. Yeah, they wouldn't be able to make ends meet. It's only in cross-subsidisation that they're able to do that.
Do you need to reach and give your little puppy a cuddle?
I'm just going to pop him out. It's actually the Foxy that's doing that. Yep.
Okay.
Out. All right, I'm recording something, so you need to not make a sound. Thank you. So my son's coming to cuddle the other puppy as well. So it's all happening. But the fox is out now.
While you were gone, I was just deciding whether we should edit that or not. We'll leave that. We'll leave that to the editor's discretion. Keeps it real. So let's segue into the NDIS, which is where you and I typically segue to after a few minutes of how's life and how are you. We're kind of all just playing the waiting game, aren't we? Like it feels for the last month, maybe 2 months, there's been this drip feeding of story, of narrative. That is welcome because I think mainstream Australian media totally needs to get that narrative. But what do you reckon we're going to hear next or when?
Yeah, right. So I think in the next 2 months, we've got a lot happening. We'll have the review findings will be made public or the review recommendations. Yeah. So that's going to be pretty huge. I would imagine the ministers have that now. So in terms of the jurisdictions, the state and territories will be putting, their heads together to see what they're going to accept and what they're not in terms of the recommendations as well as the Commonwealth. So that's a watch this space. Mm. But we already know that, like you said, there's been the drip feeding, flagged significant reform into early childhood. Yeah. What that ends up looking like is anybody's guess, and I would imagine that will be a longer term strategy just to undo what's currently in place and put something new in, and it will probably require significant funding commitment from the states and territories, which we may or may not see. I think then we'll also have the findings from the Royal Commission, which will be in the next 6 to 12 months. we'll be seeing those as well. And I think they'll influence significant change, hopefully in the education system, starting to hear some whispers coming out of there, some reforms into education, because part of the Royal Commission findings were just that level of exclusion that we're seeing, which isn't directly NDIS related, but certainly disability related, and would affect a lot of our allied health peeps. So watch this space on that. But also the annual pricing review consultation, which will drop in November. And we're hoping that we can stimulate.
I'm holding my breath while I'm listening to you.
Quite a response to that. So please stay with NACA and go along that journey with us as
we may have a cunning plan.
We have a cunning plan, and we're hoping to stimulate a response at scale to
the tidal wave of response to various ministers, we think.
That's the plan. So yeah, we'll be blogging and releasing some content on that very, very soon. So yeah, keep an eye on our socials for that.
Indeed. Must check plan for that. All good. One thing that surprised me with the Royal Commission, I was surprised that at the end of a Royal Commission you have a party. Did you see that on socials?
I didn't.
Oh, I saw it on several different fronts, that this was sort of the party at the end of the commission, and it just left a jarring feeling for me. I don't know. There was something not right about it. Clearly I've never been involved in a royal commission.
I would imagine that some level of debrief would be necessary after what they've heard. That those stories would have been harrowing day after day after day after day. I just can't imagine. Yeah. And I was actually just having a conversation with a friend of mine the other day who's not in the sector, and reflected on, she asked a question, which is a reasonable question, about how would you handle, you know, this particular thing. I suppose you can't restrain a person. Like, oh, am I 30 years, is that 30 years out of date? And I said, sadly, not.
Yeah.
Like what we've thought was acceptable, or not me personally, but you know, as a society, what we've thought is acceptable is just beyond belief, to be honest. And it's good that's getting aired now, and hopefully we'll come out the other end of it in a better place. And
yeah, 6 to 12 months sounds like such a long time to hear the outcomes of it, though.
Yeah, they might have the initial findings a bit sooner, because you know, so they have released findings along the way to different when they've done the different sort of themed. Parts of
it's our next federal election, says the skeptic. 25?
Yeah, well, it was only last year. 20. So be 22, 25. Yeah. 23.
It might be 24.
Or 24.
Just thinks to self about timing and leverage.
We also have a budget surplus. So, probably, you know, now's a good time to be asking for things.
Hey there. Okay. It's time for a breather. Did you know about our Allied Health Biz Quiz? This is not just any quiz, it's a roadmap to growth, tailored specifically for allied health business owners like you. Hundreds of business owners have taken our free quiz and received their own customized report. And if you have already, then kudos to you. We hope you found it useful. But if you haven't yet, our free quiz takes less than 6 minutes to complete. It asks a series of questions based on our tried and trusted business accelerators. Think of the Allied Health Biz Quiz as a tool to measure where you're at, what's working, and how to build on what you already have. This quiz isn't about pointing out what's wrong with your business. It's about setting standards, measuring progress, and uncovering areas for improvement. Complete the Allied Health Biz Quiz today. You'll receive your own detailed customized report loaded with practical suggestions to help you get the best business brilliance outcomes. You can find the link in the show notes or on our website at nacre.com.au. And now it's back to the conversation.
Running a business isn't just about setting up shop and becoming complacent. It's about showing up for ourselves and our clients with a commitment to continuous improvement. We have to be honest with ourselves about where we're at and where we're going. That means identifying strengths and weaknesses so we can improve. After all, if we're remaining stagnant, how can we scale and build the business and life of our dreams? That's where the NACAR Consulting Allied Health Biz Quiz comes in. We're not talking horoscopes and horoscopia. This questionnaire is the perfect starting point for you to begin identifying your strengths, needs, and blind spots as an allied health business owner. The process is simple. Answer the 14 questions and we'll send you a personalized report that includes actionable steps for you to start taking your business to the next level. Ready to take your business into your own hands? Take the NACAR Consulting Allied Health Biz quiz today.
Oh, well, we will adapt with what comes our way, but not without really messaging what we feel we're worth and need.
Oh, absolutely. And allied health will play a crucial part in all of these changes that are coming forward. It's really, and I hate to ask this of people because they've done so much of it in the last 5 years, but agility is going to be the name of the game, you know, that resilience and agility. And I know after COVID, when everyone was just backs to the wall and they found an inner strength that I just couldn't believe they found, and it just could be that we're going to be asked to dig deep again in the next.
And make some noise and be prepared to put your name on the record around some of this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And Eye on the Prize. Eye on the Prize is a sustainable, energetic, you know, colourful market for our service users. We're delivering great quality services, accessible services. And, and that's really what we've got to keep our eye on, I think, and keep messaging around our value.
Yeah, yeah. What else is going on out there? And you've got your antenna up in Coaching Zone. You read widely, got phenomenal contacts.
Yeah. Some things are a little quiet at the moment, but aged care, I'm just sort of waiting to see what's going to fall out of all the aged care reforms for allied health. That's still not overly clear, but I've read a number of documents when I was putting the white paper together where aged care for allied health is actually quite notably mentioned, but we haven't
really. In what way?
Just the need for increased allied health within the aged care system. However, I haven't seen what that will look like or how that's going to be funded necessarily. I know that under my aged care you can access therapy funding, but that hasn't, and actually therapy funding into residential aged care I think has dropped under the new funding model. It's reduced, not increased. So, yeah, that's a watch this space. Department of Veteran Affairs also were reviewing their pricing. So,
hooray.
But whether what outcome that will be, I don't know. There's lots of government discussion about what's a fair price for therapy or for allied health. So they are still figuring that out, I think. But, hey, I found out there's actually no cost model in the NDIS for allied health pricing. Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, well, it just means I don't know what they're basing their hourly rate.
But neither do they.
And neither do they. So because it was put to me that there might be an assumption that allied health work at 90% utilisation, because the assumption for support workers is that they work at 90%.
Explain what you mean by 90% utilisation.
So the assumption would be that for the amount of time that a person's employed, 90% of that would be billable.
Yeah, right.
Where we know in allied health the numbers are nowhere near that. Nowhere near that. There's also, it seems to be an assumption that everybody works 52 weeks a year, 5 days.
Oh, yes. Remember that post a little, that news post, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
3 weeks ago?
Yeah. That's a review.
Crazy maths in there.
That was a review submission. That's what the review, that's what they're reading. That's what worries me, because if we're not responding as a group to that, but people
correcting assumptions.
People are taking the time to put their assumptions on paper, which is they're entitled to do, but we're not countering that.
By painting and speaking to the reality of running an allied health business where net profit might be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10.
Yep.
Percent.
Yep. So, the other issues, of course, it's a continued battle for recruitment that, you know, with our workforce shortage being what it is, recruitment, recruitment, recruitment. And the other theme I've heard a lot of lately is I'm really struggling to stop being a clinician and begin to be a business owner.
Oh, let's do that second. Back to the recruitment. What I'm observing is that the workforce is not locked down like they were mid last year, so 12, 15 months ago. There's movement.
There's lots of movement.
There's movement across suburbs. There's movement across states. And there's movement into the country. There's also movement out of the country.
Yeah. And there's movement out of allied health.
And there's movement out of allied health.
Yeah.
So if we look for some silver linings, movement is good. Like somebody else's loss of a loved prized clinician will be somebody else's gain if they stay.
If
they stay on continent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So lots of movement and lots of testing of the market. So I spoke to a business owner last week who has a model of contracting and contractors asking for a much bigger percentage now.
Right. Yep. Well, that's pretty foxy with contracting because it's narrow margins regardless. You can very easily end up as a booking service.
Yes, and that's this person's
dilemma. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, because they're providing all of that end, the booking, the admin, the claiming, the paying, the room, the internet, all of the things.
Pod.
So contractors really upping that percentage and they're testing the market. They're going down the road and they're getting what they want.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're, yeah. And I can understand that as well. You know, we were talking in the team, as you know, about supply and demand. And clinicians have the cards to be able to say, yes, but in this market, I believe I'm worth, and I'm also worth this and that and the other. And what is the package going to look like?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And look, I think it is just an employee's market. And that's the beginning and the end of it. So how do we? Yeah, I guess it's up to business owners to be agile and to really think creatively about how they make their business the one that is the winner.
Yeah, and certainly for recruitment and retention, I think there's always room for improvement with retention, methinks.
Mm-hmm.
And often when I'm mindful I, you know, have the experience of rose-coloured glasses because our members just do such a phenomenal job. And they know how to make a 52-week retention plan and they do it and they roll it out and they measure it. But further out there, when I'm kind of listening up, when I say, what's your retention plan? Oh, well, we've got a social calendar. And I'm going, oh, my God, what about the 99 other things? And kind of I just crack a cold sweat. You've got to be working really hard on retention nowadays because of the competitor temptations, grass is greener stuff.
You don't want them testing the market because they will almost certainly get what they're asking for.
Yeah, which may well be more than what you've got in the piggy bank right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So I put a post in the group quite a long time ago. I think I said retention is the new recruitment.
Yep.
And I was shot down a bit. That was 18 months ago.
Is that in your group? I've been saying that for years.
There was an article. I think you know, there was an article of evidence to that, and then I just put a comment on the top. Retention.
I just said it with no evidence.
People were just sort of shot it down a bit, but I think I was on the money for that one. I had that right, and you've just got to not. You don't want them testing that market.
Mm.
You know, prevent even that part happening if possible.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what was the second thing you said that I said we were going to come back to?
Goodbye clinical, hello business.
Oh, that old thing.
Yeah, and that is just a common thing. Lots and lots of people I'm talking to, and they're just gorgeous. And you can just see they're just amazing clinicians and they just don't want to let that bit go. But at the same time, they know that it's holding the business back because they don't have capacity then to be doing the planning and to be executing those, or what did we call them today,
the Project Rocks.
Yeah, that was such a good session too. Like, everything was a good session today. So, you know, they're just not able to sink their teeth into those because they're just caught up with the sand.
The one-day tasks.
Yeah, so that's been, and we've had one of our members, again, no names, but she has done a phenomenal job after raising it. We talked about some strategies and she has halved her caseload.
Mm.
She has done so well. So I hope that she'll start to clear some space to be able to really, really focus on her business growth now.
Yeah. This is one of the metrics that our members in our Entrepreneurial Boardroom Alliance program, in our EBA program, it's one of the metrics you have to put into the dashboard.
Yeah, right.
And we graph how much clinical and management time they're doing, and we can see the lines changing on that. I must show you that sometime.
Yes, please do. That's such accountability, isn't it?
Just saying. Particularly if you're really truly honest with yourself about where your focus and time is going. You know, you can trick yourself in and out of whatever you want, really. But you know, the scenario, and I've been there. The scenario is you end up with three full-time jobs. Full-time clinician, full-time business owner, and full-time manager of all things family and, you know, survival on the home front.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that's a lot of work.
It's a lot. It's not going to end well, is it?
No. Like me sleeping through Christmas Day. It was not a good thing.
Not ideal. But probably the Christmas gift you could have had.
I was very happy. It wasn't one of my finest parenting moments. Can't believe I said that.
You've probably got a whole lot of business owners listening to this, Kathy, going, "Oh, I would love it if that happened to me." Everybody just leave me alone.
Curled up on the couch in the corner, right? Presents done, fed. I got 2 hours. Just play with your toys, people. Well, we can joke, but it's symptomatic of the role juggle, you know, and when you're managing these three full-time jobs, how do you set your priorities? How do you give yourself permission to dance across them? How do you even feel that you're doing a good job in any role?
Yeah, I agree. I think and I've had this conversation a lot too with our members and with others, that as allied health professionals, we set extremely high standards for ourselves. I think I've said this a load of times when I've supported businesses in various ways. I've said, you don't have to write an abstract for a journal article here. It's 100 words, easy read. Let's just pull back. We set huge standards. We have trouble saying no. It just seems to be a common theme running across the people who choose to move into this line of work, and an absolute commitment to everything that we do, which just leaves us open for burnout.
Yeah. And burnout, I don't know if I want to go into burnout. I don't know what I think about that. I really rock and roll on that topic, I must admit. But whilst there seems to be sizable commentary about burnout for clinicians, I wonder where the narrative is for burnout for business owners.
Yeah. I think about it.
Me too.
However, I think business owners are very busy looking after their teams.
Yeah. We know how hard they worked during COVID to keep people employed, to keep people occupied, productive, happy and safe.
Mm-hmm.
I think we saw that play out, or the fallout of that play out across probably March to September last year.
Yeah, I agree. Although I'm seeing a lot of holidays happening now. Just in the last probably 2 months, I've seen a lot of people are saying, I'm taking a couple of weeks, I'm taking 3 weeks. Mm. So perhaps people have just opened up enough space for themselves now to be able to take that little bit of leave.
Mm. Yeah, that's true, actually. That's true. Got everything back on the rails. It's running.
Yeah. The person who was my 2IC that left at the end of COVID moved on. I've retrained somebody else. Now I can take off for a little bit. And the business is going. Yeah. People have been, they've been incredible, quite frankly. There's no other way to say it.
Mm.
Yeah.
What else can we add in for a Friday, Arvo?
Look, let's finish on a high, shall we?
We had some wins.
That's some wins. I've been impressed with a range of businesses and members in the last in the last few weeks, just embracing change. You know, mm-hmm. even when it comes to that ChatGPT conversation we had today, it's quite confronting. Just
we should have got some screenshots of everyone's faces.
I think we
thinks of this 10 hours later.
But they came out of it thinking, the sky's the limit here. Let me go away and have a crack. You know, I'm just loving this attitude that we're seeing from people, a little bit energized, a little bit happy to embrace what's in front of them. Let's just give it a crack.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Same with the confidence to be able to reflect on what they've achieved in the last quarter.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to lean into the screw-ups, is our language, like how it is, but to also be able to sit and trust the process of what is technically very fast lightning planning.
Yeah.
And to kind of park their perhaps more natural tendency of, oh, I need to think about this and I should really do this. No, it's not a priority and I'll do it. But to actually in 45 minutes create a quarterly business plan, project plan, I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But you're right. I guess there's courage and there's resilience there. And there's a bit of a sentiment of, okay, we don't necessarily know what's going to happen with fees and pricing and rules and regulations, but, you know, move out of the way, people, watch us. We're innovative, we're adaptable, we're recruiting like crazy. We know how to make our businesses work. Please cut us a bit of slack. You know, there's a few things, government and departments, that you could do, but there's a quiet confidence there as well, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It sort of brings, I'm going to use a sporting analogy here, Kathy. I hope you're okay with it.
Okay, I'll just go and fill my water bottle.
Go on, grab a coffee. when there's in rugby league, which is my favourite sport, when a team is defending their line over and over and over and over and over again, we always say if they successfully do it, as tired as they are from that extended period of defence, they come out actually more confident because they've managed to defend that line successfully for an extended period of time. And often you'll see that team go on and score soon after. And I kind of wonder if we've got this cohort of business owners now in this situation where they've been on that line for a really long time, defending their business, defend, doing what they have to do to just stay alive, to keep bums in seats, to keep clients happy, to just keep going. And they've done it. And things are picking back up again, and now they're ready to kick goals. That's the attitude I'm smelling in the water at the moment.
Smelling in the water, okay.
Yeah, like a shark.
Yeah. That is so interesting. I would have never have come up with that. I'm not even sure which rugby you're talking about, but I know that there's two. So that could make a bit of sense. I hope that that's the case. I really do.
I think I'm feeling really optimistic.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of optimistic, it's Friday afternoon.
It might be 1 o'clock, I think.
Could be. You've got some running around to do, I know, but
for me, actually,
we're going to do a few more of these. I wonder if people will like these ones and listen in like they do the others.
Well, how about they give us some feedback? That'd be awesome if you did listen to this.
The metrics will tell us. Alrighty, have a good one. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Kathy.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. For the show notes and other resources, our webinar replays, they're all available over on naker.com.au. And if you're loving what you're listening to, please subscribe. We don't want you to miss out on a single thing. And if you want others to get the same benefit that you've had from listening into these episodes, please share this episode and any of the others forward to any of your other allied health business colleagues. And we are totally here for you. Don't forget for a moment that you can jump on in and book that power call, and we can see how we can help you get the best of business done. Looking forward to seeing you there.